And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive right here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock on a beautiful Monday afternoon in East Tennessee. How you doing? Thanks for tuning into the show. We got a big one lined up for you this afternoon. Trey Wallace is going to join to talk all things Tennessee Vols. Coming up here in just a few minutes, Rusty Enzer, hour number two, talking Tennessee baseball with us. It'll be a lot of fun. If you want to jump in, take a shot, 865-546-8200. We'll be taking your phone calls all afternoon long. Bear is a late scratch, feeling a little under the weather this afternoon. So for one, Adam Hickman of Sevierville, opportunity knocks.
Ready to rock and roll today, Russell.
What do you think, Adam? You fired up. Big opportunity for you to step up and do a little more heavy lifting on the show.
I am fired up. It's a good start to a Monday.
Good deal. And after the shocking revelation on Friday that Hickman has never seen the baseball classic Major League, well, he did his homework. We say a lot of things about young Adam Hickman. You cannot say that he does not care. He did his homework. He watched Major League over the weekend. We will get his thoughts on that coming up here in just a moment. But first, we start with the weekend that was. What a weekend it was. Started off with my mighty Chelsea Football Club thrashing future European Super League opponent Man City in the FA Cup semifinals. Bear's not here for me to talk trash about, so the listener probably wins out on that one. You don't have to listen to us talk soccer here in the first segment. But then I got to go, as luck would have it. We ended the show Friday, Bear and I lamenting. It seemed like everyone at Fan Run was picking up freebies, tickets into Lindsey Nelson Stadium, the hottest ticket we've seen in Knoxville in quite some time. Hard to get in there these days. And I want to thank my good friend Joe Fowler. You might remember Joe. I had the skiing accident a couple months back. Severe leg injury. You'll be glad to know that he's doing quite well, is recovering from that. And he sent me the invite late Friday night. Said, dude, I got a freebie. I got an extra one. You want to join me? And I was like, is there a mustache in Mexico? Hell yes, I want to join you. So there I was, Hickman, in attendance.
You see, I got the bad game. I got the Friday night game. You probably attended, I'm not much of a UT baseball expert by any means, but you probably attended what might go down as the greatest game inside Lindsey Nelson Stadium.
Where were you when Evan Russell etched his name into Tennessee baseball lore? I was there, my friends. I was there, absolutely losing my mind. My throat's still a little sore. I haven't yelled and screamed that much in I don't know how long. Oh, it's unbelievable.
I was supposed to go meet a buddy for dinner that night, and I was getting ready. I come out of the bathroom, and I look at the TV, and base is loaded, and so I'm like, well, I can't leave now. So to my buddies who sat around and waited on me an extra 25, 30 minutes, that's why.
What a moment. What a moment, man. And I know, look, the weekend didn't end like we all wanted it to, but it still feels like we're all present right now for the rebirth of something special. If we could keep this Tony Vitello guy, and I'm a little bit worried, man. Not quaking my boots worried, but hey, we're getting set to go play a Texas A&M team this weekend that is struggling, and a Texas A&M team that has the beautiful ballpark that we want, and of course a Texas A&M that has their pockets have no bottom to them, right? I mean, they throw around money like it's nothing. So we got some work to do in keeping him. But I think it can be done, and we'll talk about it. Look, man, don't get swept. That's always been Rusty Enzer's motto when you talk about these SEC series. And we talked before the Florida series, would you take 3-3 in those six games? 3 against Florida, 3 against Vanderbilt. Would you take 3-3? I said yes. I stand by that. I think a lot of people said yes, as I recall on our Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question of the day. Yeah, you'll take 3-3 out of that. And that's what we got. That's what we got. And I like what Vitello said after the game yesterday. He said, look, this is an invaluable learning experience for our team. Because, first of all, you get to measure yourself against the best. This is the, I guess they're technically still the defending national champion. They won in 2019. Of course, there was no College World Series last year due to COVID. But you want to measure yourself against the best. And this team, if they're not in Omaha, they're going to have something to say about it with those two, with that pitching staff. And Tennessee went toe-to-toe and didn't blink. And it fell apart on them. Yesterday, I feel like we were probably a little bit emotionally spent yesterday after everything that happened Saturday. Man, when I was walking out of there Saturday, it was like leaving a big football game. Is really the only thing I can compare it to, because we walked out there like right behind the stadium, and we're walking in the frat house right behind us going crazy. There's like 30 dudes out on the porch absolutely losing their mind, chanting everything. They're like old guys going up to the frat boys, like pumping their fist, doing that whole thing. I was once you. Let us celebrate together now. And people were in the parking lot honking. I parked way down on like frat row, and like all the houses were spilling out. People were just going crazy, man. It was a celebration. It was a celebration. I didn't want to leave. We stayed for a long time and had great seats, thanks to Joe, and just had a fantastic time. I mean, the weather was perfect. I don't know, we really lucked out. And listen, we've all been – well, no, we haven't, but many of us have been to Lindsey Nelson towards the end of the year, where it gets to be June, late May, early June, and it's sweltering down there. It's kind of uncomfortable. But this weekend, oh, you couldn't have asked for better weather. You couldn't have asked for better weather. It was fantastic. I mean, I was doing that thing, you know, oh, man, should I bring my rain jacket? Should I wear long sleeves? Ended up wearing just a sweater and just thinking, man, am I going to be too hot there? It was just perfect. It was just, like, super comfortable outside. It was just one of those magical days on Saturday. And for me, what happened yesterday, we were all fired up for it and everything, but it really doesn't take away a lot of what happened over the weekend. Like I said, Tennessee went toe-to-toe with one of the best programs. This is the measuring stick, right? This is who you're chasing. This is who you want to be. Tim Corbin has built a remarkable program there in Nashville. And we're not quite there yet, and that's okay, because he's been there for almost 20 years now, and our guy's in his fourth year, really his third year if you don't count last year where we didn't get to play the entire season.
I think the storyline of the weekend was Will Heflin.
Oh, fantastic.
I mean, that's the first time in conference play he's went over six innings pitched and did a phenomenal job.
And he's not a guy that has fantastic stuff, but he's just gutty. He's gritting it out. He's putting it where he needed to put it, and did what he had to do. Did what he had to do to get the job done, and so did Tennessee's bats on Saturday. And so now I think you get to take a step back. Like I said, I feel like we were probably a little bit emotionally spent yesterday. Saturday was such a cathartic experience toward the end. Everybody was just exploding. I heard Vitello after the game say, like, he had to take a second to compose himself and the emotions of it. So, I mean, since your head coach saying that, yeah, your team is probably a little bit spent at that point. But Vanderbilt's been there before, and we haven't. And they were able to persevere and gut it out. And the question becomes, if you're Tony Vitello, is what do we have to do to get to that level? Can it be done this season? Obviously, we don't have pitchers like Rocker and Leiter, but I think that we've got some pieces there, and I think one of the big keys is going to be Tidwell, because he has probably the best stuff on our staff in terms of how hard he throws and all that stuff. And he got lit up yesterday. He's just a freshman. So how much progress can he make between now and the end of the season? Good thing about college baseball, it's not like the big leagues, not like the pros, and even high school where you're pitching once every 5 days. you can really rest those guys. And for a guy like Tidwell, only pitch once a week, it's a lot of pressure to put on yourself for one game, but hopefully you're not throwing your arm out, as is custom, unfortunately, for some of these kids. So how much better can he get? Is what we saw from Heflin Saturday, can that be the norm? Can he raise that to be his standard of play instead of an anomaly? Can Chad Dallas continue to give you a chance? And then you got to be more consistent hitting the ball too, I think. The injury to Pavlone is something that we're going to have to keep an eye on going forward here. Missing him yesterday I thought was huge. But there's a lot to like about this team. There's just a lot to like about this program right now under Tony Vitello. And how fun was that? How wild is it that here we are 10 minutes into the show and we're just talking baseball? Like, not even talking about, oh, man, we got to get the stadium fixed and all that stuff. And we'll do that. But breaking it down, like talking about the pitching matchups and the hitting and stuff like that. If you had told me that we'd be sitting here doing this like 3 months ago, that we'd be sitting here today having the conversation we're having, I'd have laughed at you. You said, you're crazy.
Tony V getting tossed in the first game of the series, too. I think that was the most predictable ejection I've ever seen. Like, going into the game, hadn't even started. If you had told me Tony Vitello was going to get tossed, I'd have probably said, yeah, you're probably right.
My man is fiery, and you're not going to rook us. I know that's Vanderbilt and Tim Corbin and everything, but, dude, we're not going to get rooked. These college umps, man, the strike zone.
Spagnardi was the ump for game one.
These guys are just so inconsistent with their strike zones, and you never know what to expect. We all saw the freeze frame of Rocker's pitch that was at least a foot off the plate outside that they called strike three. And then you had the interference and thing, and a lot of silly stuff that went on. And I don't think that it would have made that much of a difference if Tony had gotten the call that he wanted Friday night, or if whatever, you know, there was no call yesterday that was going to turn the game around. But I do think that he'll be able to go and talk to his team today and say, look, we had a great win on Saturday. We had a great effort on Friday night. Things kind of fell apart on us yesterday. There are little errors that we made, literal errors that you can't make in those situations. If you're in an NCAA tournament game, you're in a College World Series game, third baseman can't overthrow the first baseman on a pretty routine grounder with two outs. That kept an inning alive and led to a three-run homer, and we lost our lead there. Came back to win the game, but might not happen that way in the College World Series matchup. You can't boot around balls at shortstop. You can't walk guys when you don't want to walk guys. And you got to have a little bit more timely hitting sometimes. And those are all things that you've got time to work on. I like the way the schedule kind of opens up now if you're Tennessee. You've got Tennessee Tech tomorrow. Obviously, you got to continue to take care of business in those midweek games. And then you've got a big road trip to Texas A&M, who's struggling this year. You can't take it for granted, obviously, but you want to win that series. You get win at least two ball games this weekend, kind of get this thing back on track. Then you've got Kentucky at home coming up towards the end of the month. That is a very, very winnable series. You're playing at Missouri, who's the worst team in the league. So if that's got to be one of your road trips, that's fine. Very winnable series there. And then your last series of the season, looking ahead towards next month, your last home series of the season is going to be at home against the number one team of the country, Arkansas. And I think there's a very good chance that by the time that happens, and again, we're talking almost a full month away, 3 weeks from now, I think there's a very good chance that COVID attendance restrictions will be lifted in Knox County and that you will have a packed house, over 5,000 fans at each one of those games, and it'll be an atmosphere like we haven't seen since the 2005
and
team.
That series against Arkansas doesn't scare me as much as this Vanderbilt series did. You're not going to see pitching like that two nights in a row.
No, but you're going to see a bunch of guys who can mash, and that's where our pitching has to continue to get better. We've lost some guys, and so we've got to figure some things out. But plenty of time. You end the season at South Carolina. Obviously, that's going to be a very difficult series. So very exciting month or so left in the season, and certainly this is a team that's going to be playing in the postseason. So a lot of baseball left to go for Tony Vitello and the boys. Tennessee football, get some news today. Joe Milton, as we speculated, will be joining Tennessee's quarterback derby. What does it mean? We'll talk to Trey Wallace about that coming up next, plus get Trey's thoughts on the weekend that was for Tennessee baseball. Stay with us. The Drive continues, just scratching the surface. A Monday afternoon edition of the show. We're back with more right after this. Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. You're the guy. Starch Madness continues. You love Fan Run. You love this show. You want us to stick around. Stay out of the poorhouse. Support our sponsors, Crowd Cleaners, locally owned and operated. Knoxville's go-to for dry cleaning for over 50 years now. Starch Madness continues. Bring in three dress shirts. Get the fourth laundered for free at Crown Cleaners. They've got two locations, Bearden Hill, North Shore Drive. You get the coupon at fanrunradio.com by just clicking on the Starch Madness logo. Print it off, stick it in the bag with your shirts when they come for their free pickup and delivery, or just show it to them on your phone when you take your laundry to Crown Cleaners. Again, two locations, Bearden Hill or North Shore Drive. Schedule your free pickup and delivery online at crowncleaners.com. Support Fan Run Radio by supporting our locally owned sponsors, like Crown Cleaners. To the G3 Help Me Hotline we go. Trey Wallace standing by this afternoon from Rocky Top Insider. Good afternoon, Trey. How are you, sir?
Hey, buddy. How's it going?
Pretty good. What you doing?
Honestly, I'm sitting here just kind of updating. Tennessee just released Justin Powell has officially signed this paperwork to play for Tennessee. So he'll enroll this summer. It's a final, yeah. So just getting this done and just kind of updating some stuff we did with Joe Milton earlier this morning. So it's been kind of a busy day.
Yeah, man. No shortage of Tennessee news. Let's start there. Joe Milton.
Yeah.
You've been following this for a while now. I can't imagine that this kid is coming here unless he thinks he's going to be the starter, right? You're a former highly touted guy. He's from Orlando, so you think this staff probably has some background with him, or it certainly knows who he is coming out of high school. And now he's leaving Michigan. He started the season there. Sounds like he got beat out. So he's going somewhere he's going to play, right? I don't see him coming to Knoxville unless he thinks he can beat out Hendon Hooker and Harrison Bailey and Brian Maurer and Caden Salter.
Yeah, I mean, and to go back, I guess, to start last year, according to people I've spoken with, during the Michigan State game, he had tore a ligament in his throwing hand. And that's kind of where things started going a different direction when it came to the quarterback spot at Michigan for him last season. He had a couple good games. I went back and watched some film last week on him, against Minnesota and Indiana, even though in the loss, he threw for 300 yards in two games and had a good start to the season against Minnesota. And I think this is a situation where Tennessee knew that they were going to go after a quarterback in the transfer portal, try to go get somebody after the spring was over. This has been in the works for a bit now. As I was told, he took his name out of the quote-unquote transfer portal on April 5th. So this has kind of been going on for a while. I think this is a decision where he's got 3 years of eligibility, but he's not coming here just to stand on the sideline and hold a clipboard. He's coming here to play football and to be a part of it. And now, like Russ, the big thing now, brother, is like, okay, Tennessee's got what? They got four quarterbacks on scholarship at the moment. They'll have five once he's signs. I mean, technically, he's already in school. He's already been enrolled, but he still has to sign, I guess, the financial aid part of it and wrap up his time at Michigan. But they'll have five scholarship quarterbacks over the summer. And you just have to wonder, okay, which one, you know, out of the five, you, let's be honest. I mean, somebody's leaving. So I think it's a big deal for Tennessee because they get a quarterback who can run the type of offense that that Josh Heupel wants to run. He's athletic. He get outside the boundary. And I think he's got a good arm to him. And this will benefit Tennessee, I think, in the long run because it's also going to spice up competition. So I thought it was a good move, Russ.
So obviously Milton's not going anywhere. I don't think Salter will go anywhere, although you have to wonder if his problems are an indication of, I don't know, a lack of maturity. I mean, hey, we were all probably lacking maturity at that age. But you wonder what the staff thinks about him. The other three have got to be looking at this today going, wait a minute. I mean, think about Hooker. Like, he transferred here thinking he's probably going to be the guy. Now, he should have known that, you know, he committed to Pruitt's staff. He had to have had some inkling that they might not be here, but that's got to be a little disconcerting if you're him. And certainly for Bailey and Maurer, it's not some ringing endorsement of the job that you've done in spring practice. So
right.
I'm with you. Yeah, it seems like there's not enough room for five QBs on that roster. I would imagine that at least one of those guys be looking elsewhere.
Yeah, I would think so, brother. I don't know. You know, I guess we'll probably start knowing more after Saturday, the orange and white game, once summer sessions start going. Because if I'm not mistaken, and I have to go back and look at the transfer rules, the players that are wanting to transfer to a different program for next season have to let them know by July 1st, I think is the date. For the winter sports, I think it was May 1st. We'll see where this road takes it. Joe Milton has been around Knoxville for a minute now. He is taking online classes at Michigan. He's been around town. He's been hanging out, with some players on Tennessee's roster. It's trying to get comfortable with what's going on in Knoxville. I was told that he'll make his official announcement after the spring game on Saturday and then sign some financial aid agreements or whatnot. And then he'll be a part of Tennessee's roster. And then, you know, you start to wonder, okay, how do they go about this over the summer with Alex Golish, you know, the offensive coordinator, and how does, Josh Heupel approach the quarterback situation? Because I think Josh Heupel's a smart enough football coach, and he's going to sit down with the quarterbacks after spring and be like, okay, this is what we've got going on. You know, maybe you should end up looking around, because here's what it reminds me of. It reminds me of the Alabama situation like 5 years ago, 6 years ago, where they had like two or three quarterbacks transfer out right before the season. It was Bateman. It was it Cromwell, Cornwell, who went to Arizona State? This would be an interesting spot. I don't know what Josh Heupel's going to do, but he had to have known he had a plan if he was going to let this kid come on down to Knoxville and get ready to start practicing on the team.
Trey Wallace, Rocky Top Insider, with us this afternoon on the show. All right, Trey, let's talk big picture here. Danny White today announces this new donor giving structure, I guess, the Shareholders Society. It's for folks giving $25,000 a year and more. You know, guys in your income bracket, Trey. And right. if you're Danny White, how do you convince fans and donors to trust you with their money when the football product has been so bad and the previous administrations have been so careless with their money? Because I definitely get the feeling that Tennessee fans are very much, and it's nothing against Danny White, it's nothing against Josh Heupel, it's just, man, this is the third or fourth time we've done this with a new AD and a new football coach, and we're not buying in on blind faith anymore. We need to see some sort of tangible result before we start just throwing money at you, especially in this economy.
Yeah, I mean, well, I mean, look, it's like $25,000, $50,000, $100,000, they're trying to say, okay, you can make your commitments within a 5-year span if you're giving $25,000, $5,000 a year. Whatever. Like, you got to show me something, guys. Like, you got to show me something before I'm going to start giving you even more money. I mean, we saw what happened last year. Tennessee was like, please, please let us keep your money. You know, you can write it off. You know, don't take your donation away. You know, and it's like, okay, you begged last year, and all the money is going towards buyouts for football coaches you had to fire. And now you look at the situation here, and one of the key points in all this was you're going to be donating to help build up athletic facilities and, you know, help the program in any manner that you can. My takeaway from that is, man, y'all got money right now. I get that you're trying to set up a new support system, kind of something like they've done at UCF, but on a lower schedule, when it comes to money. But right now, is it the right time to come up and say, hey, guys, will you please give me money? Will you please help us build better athletic facilities?
Well, they have to.
I don't know.
Like, well, it's,
I know they have to.
Yeah. And for fans too, so it's everybody's in a bad situation. Like they have to go out and scrounge up more money and extract more money from an already overtaxed donor base, right? And I'm say overtaxed in everything I just said, right? They've been giving and giving and giving with so little return, and now you're asking for more when we're at our lowest point in the modern era. And then from the fan standpoint, it's, well, you can stop giving, and you're certainly within your right and have great reasons to do that, to cut back on your donations, to not buy season tickets and stuff like that. But if you do that, that's fewer resources to not only to Josh Heupel and trying to get this football thing going around, but Tony Vitello and trying to build a new renovate Lindsey Nelson Stadium and up his pay and his assistants' pay and do the things to keep that program rolling. So everybody's kind of in a tough spot here, and it's just it seems to me he's in a very difficult position talking about Danny White in terms of trying to rally support to his cause.
Well, he has to, I mean, you hit on it. He's got to do it because it's a part of building up an athletic department and building up your fund. I completely understand why he's doing it. They're trying to mix words around it. Pretty much, it's the same darn thing. It's just, you know, you're setting up payment plans if you really want to help out the university. I mean, let's not call it something that it's really not. I mean, it's just the same thing. It's just a different way to go about it. But I think that, you know, what you saw this past weekend at the University of Tennessee at Lindsey Nelson with that baseball stadium. And I was there, man. It was rocking. You know, you've got, you know, over 2,000 fans there trying to hit capacity. But the place felt like, you know, here's the best way to put it. When Evan Russell hit that grand slam, it felt like Tennessee had just scored a touchdown in the fourth quarter to take the lead against a big name team. Like, that was the atmosphere. Well, then, you know, you look around the ballpark and you look at what they can do better. And then I take a look at down the road in Starkville, Mississippi, where they hosted 35,000 people, you know, all weekend long for college baseball games. And I look at that stadium, and it's like, no wonder people want to come out because they're getting the full experience.
Wait, they had 35,000 for three games?
Yeah, so combined it was 35,000.
Cumulative, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
for three games this weekend. And their stadium is beautiful. I mean, they got apartment suites in left field. So yeah. What I'm getting at is Tennessee's going to have to invest here, and they're trying to get this off the ground to get some money. And I completely understand that, and I'm behind that, I think. But Tennessee's going to have to make some financial statements in the near future. I'm talking in the next couple months to try to get something going with the facilities that they already have on campus. And I think that's a big thing that Danny White's going to have to do because you can't let Tony Vitello get down the road. I mean,
No. We
don't know if LSU's going to open up. We don't know if A&M might open up this year. They're going to be calling. People are going to be calling. And, you know, if that's the case, Tony's got to open up a checkbook for his staff. You know, we talked about this earlier. You know, he's got to open up earlier in the year when I was still with you. You know, his strength and conditioning coach needed more money. His assistant coaches needed more money. They needed to do renovations besides posters on the wall, like Tony said, downstairs. So I just think that this is a good deal for Tennessee, but they're going to have to pony up immediately before they get all this funding to come in.
The way my theory and take on the baseball thing is it's going to come down to trust with Tony V, because I think – I mean, look, there probably is going to be some school come after him after the season. And I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal for Tennessee to give him a raise, to give his staff a raise, and invest in them from a personnel and a contract standpoint. I think the bigger picture is, what do you do about Lindsey Nelson Stadium? It's not something where you can just snap your fingers and it's taken care of, it's done. But you've got to sit down with Tony and come up with a plan, right? A 5-year plan, a 10-year plan. What can we do in the short term, and what long term, 10 years from now, when we've been to Omaha a couple of times and we're drawing over 5,000 fans a game, what do we want that facility to look like? And I'm sure that they can bring in an architect and draw up some beautiful plans and everything like that, but I don't know that right now they can commit $30 million, right? Or probably what it's going to cost to do that. So in my mind, Trey, it's going to come down to, does Vitello trust Danny White and Donnie Plowman and Randy Boyd, the UT administration, to follow through on whatever it is they're about to promise him?
Yeah, that's the biggest thing, is building up the trust and knowing that you're going to have, you know, his back and everybody else, Ross Cavott's back and Coach Anderson's back over there when it comes to it. And, you know, we're talking about baseball now. Okay, well, what's the next thing that's going to hit over the next couple of years that you're going to need funding for? You know, so it's all about building up that trust factor that, you know, and they've already met. You know, Danny White and Tony Vitello have sat down a couple of times since he's been in town and, you know, trying to work out things. And Danny White wants to know what Tony needs. And I think that's a good thing. That he wants to, okay, give me a list. What do you need? What can I work out? And I think that's a good sign for Tennessee in their future and what they're trying to do with the baseball program. Because if you look at what you saw like this past weekend, I mean, Tennessee's on the brink of doing something really, really good when it comes to this program. They already have. I mean, they only dropped back, what, 2 spots this weekend, the number 5, coming off a hard-fought series loss to Vanderbilt. But you look at what they're trying to spin around the different, you know, facilities, and they're paying so much for buyouts. I just think you have to set up a pipeline, okay? But you also have to set up the trust between Danny White and all the coaches on this staff and the donors. Let's not forget the donors and the boosters, you know, around the program. So it'll be interesting to watch over the next, you know, couple months, over the summer, you know, getting into fall where football is, and to see where the Tennessee fund is at, I guess is the best way to put it.
Trey, what do you make of that Tim Corbin's comment about COVID not existing in Knoxville? But he meant it as like a compliment towards Knoxville,
no,
right?
Yeah, absolutely he did. No, I spoke with some Vanderbilt folks. That was a direct – he did that last week. You know, I think it was early last week he did that. He said the same thing kind of like of Mississippi, where he saw Mississippi State was having all these people. I mean, you have to remember, like, and I know folks don't know this, but like at Vanderbilt, you're not really hosting anybody. It's like 300 people there. And Vanderbilt's got a pretty cool baseball park.
Yeah.
And Tim Corbin's like, wait a minute, we're the number one team in the country. I'm looking at Ole Miss, who's hosting 13,000 a game. I'm looking at Mississippi State, who's hosting 15,000. Tennessee just put right around 3,000 in there and made it feel like a hostile environment. And then I come home and I'm playing in front of, you know, family. So I think it was a compliment towards Tennessee and Tony Vitello and what they're doing here in Knoxville. But also I think it was a shot across the bow at the athletic director, Candace Lee, at Vanderbilt, who, by the way, it was last night came out and said, yeah, we're going to make adjustments and we're going to get more people into the stadium. So Tim Corbin shot his shot yesterday, and not 2 hours later, the athletic director said they're going to do whatever they can to get more people into the Hawk, is what they call it in Nashville.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a cool facility. You're right. I mean, what they've obviously they've won two national championships, so they've got a lot of money and reason to invest in it. But it's only like a 3,000 seat stadium because it's all locked in by Memorial Gym and the football stadium. But it's still pretty right. cool. And I mean,
oh, it's one of the top. I mean, it's one of those smaller stadiums, but man, it's so top of the line. And it doesn't even matter. Like, it doesn't. It's beautiful over there. And that's where, you know, you also remember, too, that's where Tennessee got the idea of
the turf.
Kind of going with the all-turf.
Yeah.
Is Tennessee talking with the folks over at Vanderbilt about how, you know, it helped them out. So, it was a smart thing to do by Tim Corbin, and I think it just goes to show you how big Tennessee's excitement level from fans kind of rubbed off on Corbin this weekend. So I applaud him.
Trey, always good talking with you, my friend. I'm sure we'll do it again soon. We got to get you back in studio here hanging out with us sometime.
I would absolutely love to, buddy. I miss you guys. I hope Bear is feeling okay. And yeah, man, I'll text you some nugs later. I love you, brother.
I see you tweeting out stories while you're on the air with me, tweeting out RTI stories. Trey's always been a multitasker like that. He just do a billion things at once.
Well, you can't say you didn't know about Joe Milton before today, Russ. Got to go, buddy.
All right, man. See ya. Trey Wallace making his presence felt on the G3 Help Me Hotline. You want to jump on, help us unpack what Trey had to say today. Take a shot now, 865-546-8200. 546-8200, your number to get on the show with us. Quick timeout. Back with more right after this. Welcome back to Drive Continues, Fan Run Radio. Trey Wallace, Rocky Top Insider. Adam, what did you learn?
I'm glad y'all brought up the Tim Corbin comments because I forgot to say something about that in the first segment. Made me feel happy to be a Tennessee Volunteer baseball fan of 2 months.
Why? What about Tim Corbin's statement made you proud?
It's just always good whenever an opposing coach really shouts out the opposing fans.
Well, he's the second opposing coach now to make note of the raucous atmosphere at Lindsey Nelson Stadium. You remember?
Who was the first?
Well, it was the guy from LSU was talking about how our fans were not very nice.
Yeah, he did it in like a not so much of a complimenting way.
But
still.
That's almost makes you feel better, right? I mean, it's like, man, we got to him.
A lot of people on Twitter have been complaining about the legends of Lindsey.
All right, so I was there. The guy Joe who helped took me to the game. I don't say took me to the game. Sounds like we're on a date or something. But allowed me to accompany him to. That almost sounds worse. I went to the game with him. All right. He was telling me that Friday night apparently there was. I don't know if it's UT people or Vandy people or somebody or basically getting on the legends for being a little obscene. There's maybe some four-letter words and stuff coming from that. But apparently what it was there were some outside agitators coming in, you know, older folks who wanted to sit down, who had tickets around there and wanted to go hang with them. And the legends are trying to keep it PG-13.
Yeah, because I saw they tweeted that something about they try not to cuss and
yeah.
get too rambunctious and inappropriate.
Yeah, I mean, you can be insulting. I always thought, if you have to rely on a bunch of four-letter words, you're really just not that creative
yeah.
and an insulter, right?
When you can infuriate a guy
yeah.
by talking to
without
him
without cursing,
and, yeah,
without getting like sexual overtones or your mom, your what, you know, whatever. When you can really get under a guy's skin like that, that's when you're a world-class trash yeah. talker, to me. But that's apparently what was going on there. And when I was there Saturday, I didn't hear anything untoward.
Folky got to hang out with him.
Saw that, yeah. Brought him popcorn.
The two best things on on campus right now, John Fulkerson and Tennessee baseball.
Set those guys up, looking good. So that was what a weekend, man, over at Lindsey Nelson Stadium. We'll talk more Tennessee baseball next hour. Rusty Enzer is going to be on the show. We do have a spot right here. If you want to jump in, take a shot now. 865-546-8200. Your number to hop on the G3 Help Me Hotline. 546-8200. Your number to get on the show this afternoon. Portions of our show brought to you by our friends at Blue Water Climate Control, your locally owned, veteran-owned HVAC specialist. They get it done out there, Blue Water Climate Control. And still, many people turning on their AC for the first time in the past week or two will be turning it on this week. It's been pretty cool, pretty nice this week. But when you turn that AC on for the first time this year, if you have any problems, if it's not working like it should, you need to call our friends at Blue Water Climate Control. They'll send somebody out to fix it and fix it right and fix it right the first time. Call the guys who get it done. That's Blue Water Climate Control, 865-299-2290. Also, don't forget, you schedule a spring heating and air tune-up with Blue Water between now and the spring game. Your name will be entered into a drawing to win two season passes. That's two tickets to all eight UT home games this season. You can refer a friend and increase your chances to win. Drawing's going to be held on April the 26th, so that is a week from today. Call today. Schedule your service. BlueWaterClimateControl.com, 865-299-2290. Tell them Fan Run Radio sent you. Excited about the Orange and White game Saturday, Adam?
Maybe a little bit. Not as much as I have been for previous ones. But I know come fall, I'll be all in on Josh Heupel, so don't hold that against me right now. It's going to take some time.
Yeah, like we were talking about with Trey, I don't think it's necessarily anything against Heupel or Danny White, any of the new regime. I think this fan base has just been put through the ringer. I think they will come back. I think they will be able to sell a decent amount of season tickets over the summer, and I think you're going to see some excitement start to mount up towards the end of July into August for football season. I think it will come back. I think it will. And I think we have a chance to surprise some people and have a decent season this year. I really do. But I don't detect that the fan base is there quite yet. And the good thing is the game is on TV, so you don't necessarily have to go down there. If you do want to come out, we're going to be hanging out with Clay Travis and our friend Chad Withrow, the Outkick crew. They're going to be doing a thing down in the Old City at the Old City Sports Bar from noon to 3:30 p.m. The game starts at 4?
Yes.
So you hang out, then walk down to the game?
Is it SEC Network Plus or just regular SEC
Network?
That's
a good question. Surely it's on the SEC Network. And they replay it every, you know, they'll replay it a billion times, right? But my thing with the spring game is, and this is whether the team is good or not, it's one of those things where you get all psyched up for it. You're excited to see so-and-so play and how does everything look. And I don't even know what the format is going to be this year, if it's going to be offense versus defense or if they're going to split up and draft and do some of those crazy things that they sometimes do. But
I just want to see somebody just launching bombs.
It's SEC Network Plus, according to Trey.
Well, that's insulting.
But usually it's one of those things, as soon as the game starts, I lose interest almost immediately.
Yeah.
After the first series or two, it's like, oh, man, I don't even know who's in the game. If the offense is doing well, does that mean we're doing well offensively, or does it just mean our defense suck?
And vice versa. I hate when they try and get creative with it. Like that one year, I know they did passing competition.
The crazy scoring system.
Yeah.
Just, and it ends up being 117-92.
Just give me a football game.
Let's talk to TJ, the Kentucky fan, up first today on the drive. Hello, TJ.
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing today?
Hey, man, doing well. What's up?
Not a lot. Hey, saw the news that Tennessee, I mean, Jesus Christ, y'all are killing it in baseball, man.
Having a nice season so far. I mean, would have liked to have won the series this past weekend against Vandy, but Saturday was a lot of fun. You didn't get swept. Still top five in the country. Still a lot of momentum and positive vibes around this program. So, yeah, things are going well.
Yeah, no kidding. Not sure if you saw, but that team up north above you guys have a top 10 recruiting football class so far.
Well, that's what happens when you come down and get your players from the Volunteer State, TJ. Mark Stoops has built a winner there. There's no doubt about it. I mean, they've had better football program than Tennessee for, I mean, even though it hasn't shown up on the field every year, I'd say Kentucky football, generally speaking, like over the past decade or so, has been better than Tennessee.
Well, that being the case, I wish we could have gotten some more wins on the field from it. So at least you guys have that. I think going back to the day with you guys and Florida also, I think it was more of a monkey on the back, a mental block more than anything between you and Florida.
Well, I mean, you guys know about that too. Yeah, I mean, it's just – and it sadly is still there, I think, for Tennessee.
For sure.
It's just Tennessee does not play well against the Florida Gators and hasn't really for the past 30 years with any regularity. Anyway, but I'm looking at Kentucky's record since Stoops has been there. They're 49-50 since 2013. Hickman, can we add up Tennessee's record here during the break? I can help you with this. 2013 to present. Do you think that we are above 500 in that time span?
Slightly below it, I believe.
I'd say maybe we're right around. I'd say it's very similar.
Probably like a 49%, 50%.
Because Butch did go 9-4 twice. But he also had the 4-8, and then we had 3-7 this year, and a couple of, I think, 5-7s at the beginning of the Butch tenure. We'll add that up. It'll be interesting to see.
But too, you gotta think, and I'll get off here after this comment. You gotta think of the program that Stoops took over from that Joker, the big Joker. Man, he was a joke. Stoops went 2-10 his first season, so. But hey, football's almost here, so
we are truly living in La La Land. Thank you, TJ. Appreciate you, buddy. When Tennessee fans have baseball fever, and Kentucky fans are looking forward to football, what is going on here in 2021? It's absolutely bizarre. Stay with us, Adam. Will have your top four at four coming up next, right here on Fan Run Radio.